You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
And I wish some of your dozy mates in the media and got a fix on their job and started being reporters and journalists, not editorialists and analysts, which they're not qualified to do. Prison company accepted, of course.
The Wire.
As the election quickly approaches, politicians have been ramping up their marketing strategies. Attack adverts have been the central focus as of late, with both Christopher Luxon and Chris Hipkins weighing in. I spoke to Associate Professor from the Department of Marketing from the University of Auckland Business School, Dr. Mike Lee, about the current marketing strategies being employed and how they compare to previous elections. There's been quite a bit of focus on so-called attack adverts targeted at both Luxon and Hipkins. Do you think such ads raise any concerns, or are they just a given part of election campaigning?
Traditionally in New Zealand, it hasn't been a big part of our political landscape. Unlike perhaps North America, where you see a little bit more of the mudslinging, it is of concern if only because it detracts away from the more, I guess, sophisticated investigation of policies and, more importantly, how those policies will be rolled out. So it's a little bit of a distraction that's concerning on one hand. And then I guess at a more cultural level, New Zealanders probably don't like that style of political marketing.
Chris Bishop said this is going to become the most negative election campaign in New Zealand history. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I guess he raises a good point. We haven't seen anything particularly positive or differentiated between the various major parties. It's also been sort of, I guess, touted as the elections of two Chrises. And I guess that goes to show how sort of towards the centre both major parties are playing at, which of course means that they are reluctant to take massive risks on political decisions that might alienate that centre vote. And so in the absence of sort of any real differentiating factors between both parties, you kind of end up competing on personality. And one way to compete on personality is to sort of draw out the negative aspects of your competing opponent.
Is there a particular marketing strategy right now that a party or politician is using that you think is working well or is particularly positive?
To be honest, I think the Green Party has been pretty good at being very clear on communicating the ideas behind their policies. I guess one problem with the Green Party is that they're known as the Green Party. And so while a lot of their policies are just progressive in nature, and not all of them have something to do with the environment, they do have that branding from a political marketing perspective that they are known as the Green Party. And so people that are particularly pro-business or anti-environmental activism will almost automatically discount their arguments because they have this perception of being the Green Party. And so that's just one example of how, you know, people resort to heuristics when it comes to political decisions because there's just so much documentation and words and text and policy manuals that it's impossible for any average citizen to sort of like compare every single party by, you know, their attributes and their policy decisions. And so they just kind of go to heuristics. So National is known as a party that's going to bring New Zealand back on track and it's all about business-friendly policies, whereas Labour is positioning themselves as in it for you, so sort of this appeal to the common everyday middle-class New Zealander. And the Green Party obviously has this notion that they are the Green Party, whereas ACT is more about minimizing government intervention in people's lives. So that's the very sort of heuristic rule of thumb approach that people have in their minds. And even when the policies, you know, even if a Green Party has a good policy for business, such as enhancing, you know, public access to the CBD, people kind of can't look past that initial branding.
Are there any sort of political marketing strategies or methods you would like to see more of?
I mean, in advertising and marketing, you know, we always talk about comparative advertising as being particularly persuasive. And these are advertisings that compare one competing product or a number of competing products against each other on some very objective criteria. Obviously, from a legal perspective, this is tricky because when it comes to politics, what happens if you promise a criteria, but then when you get into power, you discover you cannot deliver on that criteria? You get held liable for sort of false advertising. So it's not quite the same. Whereas in marketing, there are things like the Consumer Guarantees Act, right? Where if brand A says that they are better than brand B on this particular attribute, and it comes to light that they're lying, then they can get into big trouble for that. Now, there isn't this sort of level of, I guess, scrutiny on political parties and what they promise. In some senses, as an argument, you could think, well, if I'm voting for this particular party and I'm voting because I think that their current leader is going to be the prime minister, and then halfway through the term they step out, is, you know, from a marketing perspective, that would be considered almost misrepresentation because people are voting for a particular party slash product and expecting a certain outcome, but they're not getting that outcome when they've purchased, or in this case, voted for the party or the product to take power. And so, you know, in an ideal world, there will be just more all-round accountability for what political parties differentiate themselves on, but not just to get voted in, but once they are voted in. It would be good to see almost like a Consumer Guarantees Act for political parties.
What are some of the election campaigning differences between this election and previous ones?
This one seems, as I mentioned before, this one seems to be lacking in differentiation. So there really isn't, I think there's like a general sense of apathy across all the major parties. By that I mean the two sort of National and Labour, the ones that are on either side of that centre. There's no big swings or any huge pushes in terms of whether it be policy or personality. So in the past, in the last, I guess, two sort of major terms from John Key then to Jacinda Ardern, it was a real competition of personalities. Like, they were two very charismatic leaders, one after the other. And often the criticism there would be that people just, they just like that the idea of that person as the leader of a country. And so some of the policies and some of the how they will execute on their policies were kind of glazed over. They didn't really pay attention to how they were going to deliver some of the things that they were going to deliver. People were just more excited about the idea of having this person as a prime minister. In this current campaign, there's, in my opinion anyway, it doesn't seem to be too much of that happening. As I say, it's kind of like the battle of the two Chrises. And it's almost like, well, apart from the party that they represent and their slogans, is there actually going to be a difference to the cost of living, to the housing supply, to various issues that we see happening both on the global stage but also domestically? It's a lot of little things like potholes and things that aren't that long-term and things that the average New Zealander who is struggling with the cost of living doesn't seem to be able to get any real value out of it. So, yeah, so it's my opinion, it's a little of a bit of a blasé sort of election.
Is there anything you think the public should be aware of or wary of when it comes to election marketing and branding?
I think the main thing is the execution of the policies that are being sold in a way. So I mentioned earlier about how, you know, if it was a product, one product versus another product, or one consumer brand versus another consumer brand, you know, there are legislations in place to make sure that businesses can't lie about the stuff they're promising, right? If they say you're going to get this, then you're going to get this. With political parties, often it is more about, you know, promising something or saying something that sounds good at the time, and then when they get into power, it's like, oh, well, it was worse than we thought, so we can't do it anymore, or, oh, actually, this person is stepping down due to unforeseen circumstances, so you're going to have to put up with this other person. So, you know, and whilst there's nothing the average voter can do about any of those things, I guess just thinking a little bit more critically about, okay, if this policy sounds good, what does it actually mean? And at the end of the day, where are the resources going to come from that'll achieve the thing that is being promised? Because all political parties believe that their policies will be the best for New Zealanders. They're all in it, I believe, to try and do some good. But they're all working within the same restrictions, and these are resource constraints. And so really, the proof of the pudding is in how detailed and how solid their rationale is behind the limited resources we have as a fairly small country in order to push through these policies that they're touting as going to be sort of, you know, life-changing for New Zealanders.
That was Associate Professor from the Department of Marketing from the University of Auckland Business School, Dr. Mike Lee, about politicians' current election marketing and branding strategies.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.